Well, good morning once again. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 34. And while you're getting there, boy, those two songs, those are awesome songs. Lots of scripture in those songs and a lot of exciting anticipation for the second coming. We actually brought in Make Way for the King as a Palm Sunday song. But it's really a great second coming song. We'll be singing another one at the end, Waiting on the Coming of My Lord. And hopefully we'll be singing that one all week. Love closing with that one. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 34. So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. So now two blind gentlemen, Mark gives the name of the more prominent of the two men, Bartimaeus, receive their sight by virtue of a miracle from the Lord. Now as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." And then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. But they cried out all the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." So Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Our applications will culminate with our text, but they will begin with points from context. First, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, these two gentlemen determined not to let Jesus pass them by. As we read, "Behold, two blind men sitting on the road, when they had heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David.'" The opportunity may never present itself again. So there was a sense of urgency with these men. In your life, in our lives, we can consider this concerning romance. You've probably heard that phrase, the one who got away, the one true love you just blew it and it never happened, and you're going to spend the rest of your life regretting it. Thank God that didn't happen to me. I would never let my love, Susan, get away. I wasn't going to let her be the one who got away. So I went and I pursued her until there was no more pursuit left to be had. And this way here, I'm blessed with a lifetime where I don't have to be dealing with the remorse of missing the great opportunity. But this is so with this life, and that will last for a lifetime. But consider eternity. If you let Jesus get away from you in this lifetime, you're going to spend an eternity regretting it. And these men understood this concept. In fact, they had already placed their faith in this Jesus, and they were simply acting upon this faith. And so this very morning, do not let Jesus pass you by. Christian friend, you know that he is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of David, the Son of God, and that he has all power to make you whole. More than this, Jesus is the only one who can do it. And he has the compassion to match. Are you cumbered by a load of care? Do you need some forgiveness this morning? Some peace? Do not let the Lord pass you by this morning. Since the earliest New Testament days, God's faithful preachers have urged the uncommitted souls not to let Jesus' gracious salvation pass them by. We each get one life. One shot to make peace with God. And after this, the Bible tells us, the judgment. And if anyone will come to God, it must be done through his Son Jesus on the basis of his shed blood for the forgiveness of sin and considering the victory of his resurrection. Did our Lord not himself say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And the Lord's servant, Paul, says this, when as we then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is an accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Have mercy, they cried. These gentlemen did not blame God for their poor lot in life. They did not try to avoid the Lord when he was coming their way. You see, many people today do not want to deal with God. And so they avoid him and they run the risk of procrastinating their way into hell. The request of these men was for mercy. The good God of the universe is merciful at the core, and his mercy is born of compassion. God is not a man whose mercy is limited by his lack of compassion and by sinful understanding of what just judgment is. Have mercy is a prayer. Have any of your prayers been answered this past week? I can tell you that a couple of mine have. Intercessory prayers at that, for people within this very room. And so, friends, when we pray the prayer, have mercy, earnestly and sincerely, such a prayer is apt to cause the Lord to stand still, as he did in our text. Our text reads that Jesus, quote, had compassion. And in his constancy, he never changes. Hence the title of our sermon, Jesus Has Compassion. So it is just as true that Jesus had compassion, as it is written, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, and yet without sin. All areas, those areas in which our Lord was tempted in the wilderness, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Those areas which we find recorded in 1 John chapter 2 in verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, these two blind gentlemen, they were pretty bold, weren't they? Two blind men sitting by the road. Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Now, blindness is only one malady of many, which has sin at the root cause. I mentioned a moment ago that there are so many who will not call out to the Lord because they blame him in some way, shape, or form for not acting or having acted in their particular case in the way that they wanted him to. But truth be told, sin is the root cause. And we can blame the sin in the creation, and we can blame the sin in the others of others, but we do well to simply blame the sin of the man in the mirror and stop there. Before the fall, there was no sin in man, and therefore no disease and death. But through Adam's sin, paradise was lost. And the consequences of original sin affect all the human race. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. But yet, we have the end of the book. We can read the beginning and the end, and we rejoice in the sure hope that one day it shall come to pass that God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There should be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. But in all the interim time, all of human history, sin and death reign among men. And God has his purpose in that, that we might be sanctified thereby, and that in coming through the trial, he might be glorified among us. Not for his own benefit, though it is for his own sake, for God needs nothing to be complete, but for the benefit and for the sake of other men, that they might see the great works of the Lord and glorify God in heaven and praise him. Hallelujah. Amen. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Definite article. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the following through of the Lord's plan for his life, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So we think about the law. Sin entered the world back there in the days of Adam. And what happened? People just got worse and worse and worse. So God gave the law through Moses that there might be a record of that which is right and perfect and holy and pure, that sin might be restrained. And furthermore, that men might realize their own sinfulness, their own depravity, and that they might seek divine help and find it in the person of the Savior. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And what does Paul say? That Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Notice in our text that Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight. The cure was immediate and it was complete. This specific miracle, restoring sight to the blind, was done more than once by Jesus in his earthly ministry. It was prophesied that when Messiah came, he would, quote, open blind eyes. And we recall when the disciples of John came and asked him if he was the one or if they should look for another, one of the things that he referenced as one of his calling cards as Messiah, if you will, was that he would give sight to the blind. And so, giving sight to the blind, and in particular, giving sight to one who was blind born from birth, were messianic miracles, and the latter uniquely so. Now, one day, shortly after, these men who had received their sight would close their eyes for the last time. And so the healing was of the body, but it was by definition temporal. It was the healing of their soul, which would continue into eternity. And so the miracle must be about much more than the great physician at work in our lives physically, though he does work so, both naturally and supernaturally. There is a spiritual point to it. We read in Acts 2:22 that the miracles of God were given, that they were designed, given, and performed for the purpose of attesting to his person, for the glory of God the Father through the glory of God the Son. And so the opening of blind eyes is illustrative of spiritual understanding. In another instance of Jesus healing the blind, we read where Jesus teaches this very thing. Jesus heard that they had cast the blind man out of the synagogue. They had disfellowshipped him, excommunicated him for his testimony concerning the Lord. And when they had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind." And then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words, and they said to him, "Are we blind also?" You can imagine the tone of their voice when they came to the Lord. Really, probably really snarky, you know? And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see.' Therefore, our sin remains." And so, knowing these things, we can properly understand the spiritual nature of the atonement, as it is written, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." That's a beautiful promise here from the Lord. And having spoken all of these things, which we have this morning, we can set this in its proper context and give it a proper understanding that the extent of the atonement is full and complete concerning the spirit, that is, concerning the soul, but not so concerning the physical body in this life, though one may argue that it is true concerning the new body that we receive from the Lord to enter into the next with. The Son of God grants permanent and immediate aid to those who trust in him for the salvation of their souls. Finally, our text records that these two gentlemen, quote, followed him. Their faith was honored and made known before all as they took up their place behind the Lord. Their eyes had been opened, and they were more convinced than ever before that Jesus is Lord. Friend, are your spiritual eyes open? If now you see, would you then see Jesus ahead and choose to walk in the same direction, or some other direction, or some direction that you think is parallel? Would you settle for just the one benefit from God, the opening of blind spiritual eyes and the salvation of the Lord, and miss everything else that he has in store for his children, in this life, not as the world would estimate benefit, but as the Lord defines benefit. Or will you take your place in the line of the faithful, and will you cry out with David, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation." Selah. Pause to think about it. Our God is the God of salvation, and to God the Lord belong escapes from death. Lord, I pray that this sermon, this preaching, this teaching enlightens the spiritual eyes of each and every one of us, that we might gain a fuller understanding, an eternal perspective concerning the things of you, Lord God, concerning your Son, Jesus Christ, concerning his work on the cross, his resurrection, concerning the gift of God the Holy Spirit, concerning the things of this world and those things that tend to distract us and consume our energies and rent too much space in our heads. Lord, that our eyes might be focused straight ahead, that we might follow you, even as these two gentlemen did, that you have recorded a narrative of in the scriptures for our benefit, that we might imitate them in faith, in boldness, and in a willingness to stand up and be your disciple. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.